Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, where sports betting lives. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you take it, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, and Kelly and I already have a debate on something.
Good morrow.
Good morrow.
Good morrow.
Yeah, I said it means good morning, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
You thought it meant good tomorrow?
I thought it had something to do with tomorrow, like if you say it at the end of the night or something like that, right? Good morrow. But no, you're right. I just looked it up.
Okay.
Once again.
1-0.
Yeah, I was going to say Gil like 92, Kelly 7, but yeah.
Yeah, I've lost some on these. I'm not undefeated, that's for sure. Coming up on the show, it is Thursday here on A Numbers Game. You know what that means? Zach and Crack. It's the Zach and Crack comedy duo. Zach Cohen, VSiN senior editor, NBA and more. We like to characterize Zach's appearance. It'll be a lot more in terms of football, college and pro. We'll see what Zach is into, betting-wise. Will they make the playoffs? Make or miss? We got to do that. We haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, so, this is the NFC edition for you.
The NFC edition. So you're talking, we got some Rams in there. We got some Cardinals in there. We got some Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
We got some Commies in there as well. We'll get to all the make and misses, the relevant teams in the NFC. I noticed you left the Niners off that list. That was interesting.
It did, yeah.
And then Bill Krakenberger, the other part of the Zach and Crack team, unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger, who will be in here for the second hour, as he always is. And we don't know what direction that goes in. Could go any direction. Also to your also
hence
our,
unscripted.
Hence, ergo unscripted. Also our Larceny Bourbon Smooth Bet of the Week. We will do that as well. Trevor Lawrence, it appears, is donezo. Donezo for the year, IR, yesterday. Likely ending the season. Already dealing with the sprained AC joint in the left non-throwing shoulder, and then the concussion, the big hit from Al-Zaire last weekend. And so he got suspended for 3 games, and Trevor Lawrence appears to be donezo. So there you go in terms of Jacksonville and whether they can end up with the first pick in the draft or whatever. Trevor Lawrence's career, give me a summation right now, Kelly. Just give me a summation.
Meh.
Yeah.
Meh.
I was once told before I could finish the question that he was generational.
Yeah, yep. Me too.
No, he's not.
Me too.
He's not. And a poor guy with the concussion now. It's just the injuries mount. So we'll see. Jaguars, who are vying for the number one pick in a Jaguars-Titans tussle this weekend. How much would I have to pay you to sit down? You don't have a bet on the game, okay?
Oh, man,
you're not allowed
this
to have
good.
A wager
yep.
on the game. Yep. And I'm like, Kelly Bidlin, how much money would it require you to watch the Jaguars at the Titans from the beginning to the end?
$300.
$300.
Yeah, $300.
$300. Okay, all right. Maybe we should start doing that. Like every show, do a segment like that. How much do we have to pay you?
Oh, I could have that. I could have that conversation all day because everybody has a number in their head. No matter, you know, when you even get those answers, like, oh no, no, blah, blah.
Yeah.
No, everybody has a number. Whether it might be high, it might be low. You can get to a number with anybody on anything.
Wagerless has to be wagerless, otherwise we can all watch them.
See, I always love, like, you just gave me the question, like, how much? I throw 300 out, so right, that your follow up is, well, what if I told you 280? Right, everybody has a number, right?
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. Tonight, though, much better than Jaguars Titans. The opposite of that, whatever Jaguars Titans is, the opposite of a barn burner. This is the old barn burner tonight. Packers and the Lions, Thursday night football from Ford Field in Detroit, where the Lions are 3.5-point favorites, and the total is at 51.5. You know what I like to do on Thursday? I always give a shout-out to Sean Kerner over there at Action Network. Is it Kerner or Corner? I have to figure that out. He does a great job with Thursday Night Football. Obviously, the Packers coming off the win against the Dolphins Thanksgiving night. Detroit with that, hey, the Bears decide not to call a timeout victory over the Bears earlier that day. The Lions have won 9 in a row. Packers have won 3 in a row. Something's got to give. 2-game lead for the Lions over the Packers. Remember, just a 1-game lead over the Vikings. As great as the Lions season has been, Those two teams in their rear view, not to mention the Eagles for the number one seed, outside of division, but in conference. So he makes the case, Corner does, and I think this is interesting. For those who don't love a bet here on the spread, let's talk about the total for a second. Lions use man coverage at a league high 43% of the time. Among 41 qualified quarterbacks, I would not have guessed this about Jordan Love. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Lions play man coverage 43% of the time. Among 41 qualified quarterbacks, Love ranks 38th in quarterback rating, 39th in success rate against man coverage.
I wouldn't have expected that either.
But I got a better Jordan Love one coming for you. Lions blitz, fifth highest rate in the league, and the second highest rate since Aiden Hutchinson went down. So they've stepped up the blitz rate. Love has struggled mightily against the blitz. Listen to this. He leads the league, Jordan Love does, in EPA per dropback against four or fewer rushers. But you know what what happens when he gets blitzed, meaning more than four rushers? 33rd out of 34 quarterbacks. So literally, he almost goes first to worst.
Yeah,
depending on what the defense is doing.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys we see get pressure in his face. He can make some mistakes.
Since joining in week 11, since joining the team in week 11, this is Darius Smith, by the way, 17 pressures, which are the most in the NFL. So the Lions pass rush, even though a lot of people are, you know, oh, they're doing it without Aiden Hutchinson, they have made up for it pretty darn well. As the top in DVOA against the pass, Detroit D is. They rank fourth in DVOA against the run, even though they recently lost Alex Anzalone, right, to IR. Jack Campbell, Malcolm Rodriguez, they've stepped up, especially against the run. Because like, you hear a lot of people saying, well, they lost Anzalone. So far, it hasn't really mattered.
Yeah, it's what do we always call it, the cluster injuries, right? Yeah. Like, they've got a lot of injuries on that defensive front and the linebacking core right now. Getting some secondary help back
there. And eventually it'll catch up to you. Yeah, I'm not saying it won't, yep. Right? But so far, so good. And then obviously the Pack tries to feature Josh Jacobs, so put all of that in the mix, and probably not so easy-peasy for the Packers tonight. They know that information about Jordan Love, and obviously the Lions are solid defensively in any department. As far as the other side of the ball, Packers have been solid against the run. They're 12th in DVOA. That's Aaron Schatz's proprietary stat. Again, granular play-by-play. What does that offense or defense do against league average given the same situation? And they have made a lot of adjustments, you know, on defense as well. More stacked boxes, by the way. Christian McCaffrey 2 weeks ago, 11 carries for 31 yards against the Packers defense. Devon Achane, 7 carries for 14 yards against the Packers defense. And here's the thing. Taylor Decker may not play. The Lions left tackle may be out of this one. He's yet to practice this week. And so, you know, if that's the case, Jared Goff is going to face pressure. That hasn't been a good career proposition for Jared Goff, though better these days. Yeah. Packers frequently move Rashawn Gary around to exploit mismatches. So maybe if it's Dan Skipper filling in for Taylor Decker, we might be able to find Rashawn Gary on that side a whole bunch.
Decker out now
officially. So there you go. Out officially. So Green Bay potentially containing Detroit's run game enough. They're not going to stop them. What's the Dan Patrick line? You can't stop it. You can only hope to contain it. But the elements for containing are certainly there. And then the Jordan Love stuff potentially struggling against, you know, the aggressive Lions defense. Under, perhaps, can we interest you in under 51.5? That the total's pretty high.
Yeah, you could. I look. I'm on the Lions side. Total wise, though, absolutely would be under before over for me. Yeah, just because I think both these teams would love to run the ball, and if they can keep running the ball, keep it out of these other quarterbacks' hands, other offenses' hands, they'll love to keep doing that, run the clock. So, yeah, I mean, 51.5, I think first instinct when you see these two teams is, oh, great offenses, right? They're going to put up a lot of points. But Jacobs on one side, the Lions running backs on the other, you just keep moving on the ground. These teams would love to do that. So, yeah, I definitely would be a lean to the under. Man.
Dave Ross made the point on air just before we came on here where he was saying, hey, look, if the Lions lose this game, it sort of changes everything in the NFC. And he's right. As great as the Lions have been, 11-1, for goodness sake. I have him power ranked number one. I've had him for half the season power ranked number one. Aaron Schatz, for goodness sake, he was on the show yesterday through the prism of his DVOA metric. He has them as, what was that, the 7th best team through 12 games since 1979, for as long as he's tracked this. seventh best of all time. And the six in front of him, five have made the Super Bowl, and the other got as far, got as close to making the Super Bowl as you can possibly do so by losing in overtime in the AFC Championship game, the 2018 Chiefs. So that's the kind of rare error he has the Lions in. Yet, because of the Eagles at 10-2, and in division because of the Vikings at 10-2, and these Packers at 9-3, they haven't secured anything yet.
Yep.
Anything. They haven't accomplished anything yet.
Yeah, two other teams that could still win that division.
Yes.
Right? It's, I think the NFC's, it's shaping up very interestingly for the playoffs, because if you look at it, of course you want the one seed because you get the bye. That is the ultimate advantage, right? No, not like any team's going to be playing their way out of that. However,
not having to play a game is still the greatest advantage in play.
Greatest advantage you can have, yeah. But, you know, skip forward around in the playoffs. It is kind of interesting that you're going to have, looks like it's probably going to be Vikings-Packers with that first wild card seed, right? So you could be a situation where they play the lowest division seed, win, and then you're facing Lions versus Packers or Vikings again just in that second round. So that could be pretty wild going forward.
As we flash up the odds to win the NFC, just as you glance at that board, who is the team? Let's throw the Lions and Eagles out at the top, okay? Because Lions and Eagles, I think we all feel, are the cream of the crop at this moment.
Mm.
Generally speaking, others may have a different opinion. But if I said to you, give me the team most likely to win the NFC playoff bracket and get to the Super Bowl, if I told you that it's neither the Lions or the Eagles, I came to you from the future.
I mean, it's boring. It's still the Packers. It's still the Packers, and then it's still the Vikings next. I think after that is where it gets interesting with answers.
It's the Vikings because they could still be the team that gets the bye, right?
Yeah.
So I think they're the logical answer to that question.
I mean, at some point, we got to start giving this team a little bit of credit, too. I feel like we do this with the Vikings all the time. They had two losses.
How about Aaron Schatz having the Cardinals, his seventh-ranked team in the NFL?
Cardinals, Seahawks, Rams are all going to be dangerous.
Interesting. We'll come back. We'll give you your larceny smooth bet of the week. That's next, right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you want to bet smarter, you got to start with smarter insights. Makes sense. With expert breakdowns of the week's biggest matchups to deep dives into betting strategies and trends, VSiN delivers the kind of actionable content that gives you the betting edge. Look at this. Greg Peterson's college basketball best bets. I would argue that alone worth it, because Greg is just an encyclopedia of college basketball. Josh Applebaum, breaking down Thursday Night Football betting splits. Steve Mackinnon with his college football conference championship best bets, picks, and predictions. And later today, you can check out Dave Tooley's takes for college football. Adam Burke always doing his thing. He'll tell you who he thinks is the best bet for first touchdown scorer in Week 14. And Zach Cohen, of course, will be on the show momentarily breaking down his NBA best bets. To get access to all the articles on VSiN.com, right now you can sign up for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. How about some tweets? We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Ice Cold Gambler. It's tough being at a conference but listening to Crackman on A Numbers Game because I can't miss a segment. Priorities. Thursdays are a must listen. Crack coming up later on the show. Sorry to take you away from your actual job there. Teasers and Parlays. Gil, I've seen Super Bowl exactas and matchups posted in a couple books. Have you or Kelly made any exacta bets yet? As during the baseball season, these were fun bets to make. I didn't make any exactas. I made the matchup bets. I have made two. We talked about these a few weeks ago. I have Detroit versus Baltimore, and I have Detroit versus Kansas City. Those are my two Super Bowl matchup bets. I'm trying to remember what the numbers on. One of those was low double digits, and one of them was about 6-1 on that. So, those are my two. I have not strayed from the Lions as the NFC anchor, which concerns me a little bit, by the way. Al McDonough hit a big college basketball parlay, and he was showing us his ticket, $25 to win $500. Got home because UConn, what, they won by less than three, the ending of that game. So he hit a bunch. Wow, he had North Carolina on the, what did he have here? North Carolina. Oh, he had Alabama, of course. Yeah, Alabama rolling. How about Alabama? They lose Reitzel to a ruptured Achilles, and Houston Mullett comes in and hits two threes for Alabama. Alabama's going to be great. Creighton, Kansas didn't work out for us, though. Creighton just destroyed Kansas last night. He was on it, though. He had Creighton plus four. We had Matty Cox on yesterday, like Kansas minus the four. I was kind of on his side of things there. So good on you, Al McDonough. This is from Bruce Dobigan. Not sure if you saw Rick Moranis' tribute to the ultimate vocalist Michael McDonald on SCTV. Side note, the piece about SoCal's ultimate vocalist was taped in Edmonton, where SCTV filmed all their best early work, Semper Yacht Rock. Yes, they included that in the documentary, but I've seen that before as well. So funny. Rat City. He says, I've been watching Titans and Jaguars games for free my whole life. Hashtag tighten up. Maybe you should look into perhaps getting paid for that. Three Jack H3131. Happy Thursday, Gilly Kelly. Looking forward to the day and hoping we can eventually sway Kelly from his ANDE stance, anti-near-death experience stance. Kelly was a little heated yesterday. Sure was.
Now, I was heated for like 3 hours after the show yesterday.
What I liked, though, is that you recognize that your being heated was really because, unprompted, DeMar Hamlin came out of Aaron Schatz's mouth. That's what got you mad. Because you're like, this is an actual voter. This wasn't Gil saying it.
Right.
This was an actual voter, yeah, unprompted, who just brought it up.
Yeah.
That's what set you off.
Yeah, I don't want to say I'm not angry at Aaron. I just think collectively all last year we had this outrage, I think rightfully so, over demanding some type of guidance rules for this award. So something that we do all the time, the NFL actually gave it to us, and now we're sitting here this year saying, yeah, I don't know about those. Let's just give it to someone who doesn't apply for it anyway.
But is it against the new rules? Because what it says is you had to miss games.
He was a healthy scratch last year. He was a healthy scratch at the beginning of the year. I looked this up after the show.
Healthy scratch?
Healthy scratch every game.
Was he really a healthy scratch?
I mean, what the reports were, he was working his way back earlier in the year. He was a healthy scratch.
New York Mets 16. How much pre-flop would you have had to be paid for Denver-Cleveland? That would be a scoop the pot situation. I don't think so. Denver's a good team. I don't know. I wouldn't have said that before that game. Jim.
I mean, afterward, I would have pay-per-viewed for it. Whatever UFC or boxing costs, yeah, $75. Here you go. That was awesome. To watch Jameis Winston?
Broncos-Browns isn't quite Titans-Jaguars. Joe named Jim. Gil, is it possible that DVOA needs some adjusting? Haven't there been multiple teams within the top 10 of NFL history these last few years? Maybe they're that good, but isn't it possible the calculation needs a tweak? I don't think so. I don't think, you know, just because their performance in the regular season qualified, like we're talking about the Ravens and the Niners last year during the regular season, just because Patrick Mahomes comes in with his cape and beats them in a Super Bowl, right? Or those two teams don't get to the promised land, in other words, I don't think that means DVOA needs adjusting. It just tells you this is what their performance is during the regular season. And for our purposes, I would say ... bet accordingly. Use this as part of your toolkit of information when you're betting or not betting certain lines. Matthew Mayberry, UConn won by 4, hit 2 free throws with 0.4 seconds left to get the cover. I probably read the parlay ticket wrong. Yeah, I thought UConn did. That's why I was like, wait a minute. Curious to get your thoughts. This is from Sam. Curious to get your thoughts on the Cardinals to make the playoffs plus 175 behind the Seahawks, but play them this week, have best conference division and finish season with Panthers, Patriots, Rams, and Niners. We will get to that very question.
Yeah, sit tight.
Yeah, we'll get to that very question a little later on the show, which brings us, Kelly, to our Larceny Smooth Bet of the Week. Larceny Bourbon, of course, doing its thing as always. The Smooth Bet of the Week presented by Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Lock in a win and seize tonight, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely. Larceny Smooth Bet of the Week, Kelly, and I believe you hopped on this as well.
I did. I'm glad you brought this up the other day, pointed out some numbers.
I got 12-1. You got 11-1.
I got 11-1.
Yeah, I got 12-1 on Lamar Jackson to be the National Football League MVP. And again, if you miss the sort of reasoning that I went through the other day, I think Josh Allen ought to be the favorite right now. Okay. The biggest thing going against Lamar as to why Josh Allen should be the favorite, though, is because the Ravens have lost 5 football games, right? And so that, if we go back to Cleve TA, our buddy Cleve's MVP parameters, meaning here's what every MVP or the majority of MVP winners have had in common. And he goes through about 3 bullet points. One of them is you got to win at least 11 games. You got to do that. And so what does that mean? That means the Ravens, with 4 games left, they can afford to lose one more. Okay, they only can afford to lose one more. I believe, based on the Ravens' schedule, that will be the case. I believe that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens will not end up with less than 11 wins. So that's the first thing. And I also have a handicap where I believe the Rams could take down the Bills this week as well. And so the Bills might be in a position where they lose a couple games in a row here. So the whole record thing would be a wash, in other words. By the way, here's the Cleve MVP trends. 11 straight and 16 of the last 17 have been quarterbacks. Those teams have averaged over 13 wins per season. No MVP in the last seasons came from a team with less than 11 wins, and the average preseason win total for these teams have been 10 wins with a floor of 8.5 wins. So they qualify on all. The one in the middle is the only dicey one for Lamar. But here's the real reason. So you put all that in the mix, and I'm like, okay, how do I, can I rationalize in my head that the middle one about a team, you know, winning less than 11 games, will that be thrown the wayside? Because mm-hmm. I don't throw them by the wayside because I don't believe Baltimore will end up being in that situation. So I believe that. And then I go to the stats. And the stats, if you just based it on stats alone, Lamar Jackson should be the favorite in this. Lamar Jackson has 29 touchdown passes and 3 picks, 678 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. By the way, 3,290 passing yards. Now, he's played one more game than has Josh Allen. So even with Josh Allen playing this weekend, where he will match the number of games Lamar has played, he's not going to get to the passing yards. He's certainly not going to get to the 29-3 in terms of touchdowns and picks. He's at 20-5. He's not going to get to the rushing yards. He does have double the touchdowns on the ground, so give him that over Lamar Jackson. But generally speaking, my point being, Lamar Jackson has 29 touchdown passes and 3 picks. If you project out the next 4 games, it is very possible Lamar Jackson ends up with a gaudy, let's say, 37 touchdown passes and 4 picks. Mm-hmm. Let's just go with that. You want to go 37-5? Sure, go ahead. You're not the MVP if you do that and you go to the playoffs. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So Lamar Jackson, this wasn't 3-1. This wasn't plus 350. This was 12-1. You kidding me?
It's all about the odds, right, Gil? I mean, we talk about that all the time. Do I think Josh Allen should be the favorite in this market? Yes, I think Josh Allen should be the favorite in this market. But we're talking about, I think we need a little bit of help from the Bills. Yeah. Give me a couple losses. Yep. And we need a little bit of help from the Ravens. They can't add up another 2 losses. It probably takes Lamar Jackson out of this race. But
the Ravens.
But no, neither one of us, I think the biggest thing is we're getting these kind of odds, and we're betting into these kind of odds because neither one of us truly believes that Saquon Barkley is going to win this award.
No, that's the other part of the equation.
It's the massive part.
We do not believe that Saquon Barkley is part of this. I get it, all you Saquon people. You think he is the true MVP, but I don't think these voters are voting for a non-quarterback. Right. I don't.
Me too. And that's why at over 10-1, I mean, we got some shops. Circa's got him at like plus 650. It's like almost half.
Yeah.
What do you bet him at?
That's your Larceny Smooth Bet of the Week. Lamar Jackson to win MVP. Feeling lucky? Put your money in Larceny Weeded Bourbon where your mouth is. Whether you enjoy sipping it straight or mixing it in a cocktail, the true pros know Larceny raises the stakes. The stakes, that is, in flavor with every pour. It won double gold at the 2024 San Francisco World Spirits Competition. Don't gamble with what's in your glass. Enjoy smoother sips no matter the spread and seize tonight with Larceny Bourbon. Find a bottle near you at LarcenyBourbon.com. A&G brought to you by Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely. Drink wisely.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You the type of guy who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or girl? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sport Trade, the app that's going to change sports betting. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sport Trade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sport Trade live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and Virginia. Download Sport Trade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. You want a little sports talk radio banter here, Kelly? A little bit before we get to Zach? Listen to this.
Let's do it.
Listen to this. This is from, a bunch of folks are reporting this, but this is a Monday morning quarterback as well. So this is not just, you know, some rando thing. The Cincinnati Bengals are reportedly contemplating trading star wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase.
No way.
In an effort to extend their Super Bowl contention window. Wait a minute. I love the audacity of that when you've won 4 games. Got to extend our Super Bowl contention window. A strategy reminiscent of the Kansas City Chiefs trade of Tyreek Hill to the Miami Dolphins. Apples and oranges a little bit, but I get it.
I was going to say, well, age is a factor there.
This potential move has sparked a debate among fans and analysts. Proponents argue that trading Chase could provide the Bengals with valuable draft picks and cap space, potentially aiding in a team rebuild or enhancement. However, critics point out that Chase at 24 is on a trajectory for a record-breaking contract.
No crap.
Suggesting his current deal might not be as cost-effective as initially thought. The discussion also considers alternatives like trading T. Higgins, which might be less risky. The overarching question remains whether the long-term benefits of acquiring new assets outweigh the loss of a player of Chase's caliber, especially considering the team's drafting history and quarterback Joe Burrow's performance dynamics. You got to be kidding.
Are y'all crazy?
The Burrow Chase combo, you do not mess with that.
No.
What are you doing?
Even for as much as people like to rip on the the Cowboys, Dak and CeeDee Lamb you don't mess with either. CeeDee Lamb gets the ball like 10 times a game, even when they know it's going his way. Jamar Chase is the same way. And Jamar Chase versus Tyreek Hill is not even the same conversation, because every year in wide receiver years is like dog years, right? He's 24 years old, Gil. One of the best wide receivers in the league. You don't trade a guy like that.
You're crazy.
How would you have a quarterback like you do? What are we talking about?
What are they doing? That's fascinating, except not really, because you're crazy if you do it. By the way, I love these. Keep the Super Bowl window open.
I don't know. You know,
okay.
So at the Super Bowl window, it's so we could break down what we're paying him to give to offensive linemen and defensive linemen. I mean, I'm assuming that's what they're implying.
I mean, I get what you're saying. You want to keep Joe Burrow healthy. You don't get Joe Burrows every day or every generation. But good God, man, maybe protect him and do it some other way besides trading Chase. Zach Cohen joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX, part of the glue that holds this whole entire operation together. He comes to us from his lair behind him. What is that? That is an Air Jordan piece of art. What is that behind you?
Yeah, it's a Jordan 1 with some writing in it. It says love in there, so it's a good neutral thing to have with my wife. I think she agreed to it pretty fast. But yeah, my mother-in-law got it for me. I really like it.
Oh, well, if the mother-in-law gets it, what's the wife going to say? She can't say anything at that point. She can only be like, Mom.
More like, what is he going to say?
Yeah.
Zach can hate it right now. He can't say that.
That's right. Zach's like, I hate this thing. No, I'm kidding. Okay. NBA Cup. The quarterfinals are set for next week, for next Tuesday, by the way. Thunder Mavs, Rockets Warriors, Bucks Magic, Knicks Hawks, catch the fever. The semis and the finals will be here in Vegas. December 14th is the semis, December 17th, the non-standings championship here in Vegas. How's that been going for you? And then on a night like tonight, which is, not a cup night, we do get the benefit of, non-cuppy, situations. We only have like a couple games on a Thursday, but tonight we have a bunch of them.
Yeah, I mean, the cup went pretty well for me. I didn't make any group plays, but I did pretty well betting those games on their own. I mean, it does help knowing what teams need what with the point differential. But yeah, I wish I jumped in on some group plays. I know Kelly and JVT had a lot of fun with those, but I do kind of think the Knicks are a really good play to win this thing. I know that they're the favorite right now, but I think that's because they have a really good mix of just determination and just, offensive ability. I think they have a really good matchup in the first round playing the Hawks, and I really like them against the Bucks or the Magic. We just saw what they did against the Magic the other night. So I think they have a pretty good path to the finals. So I think at plus, 310 or whatever it is, it's worth a shot on New York.
What'd you play tonight?
I have the Raptors plus 9.5 tonight, which it's never fun playing Toronto, but they are really not as bad as their record suggests. They're only 20th in the league in net rating, and they're 4-3 since Scotty Barnes came back in these last seven games. They're also plus 2.3 net rating at home. The Thunder road net rating is 9.5. So it's really not that big of a difference. I think it's going to end up being a close game throughout that maybe Oklahoma City pulls away with at the end, but I do think they're going to stay within that number of 9.5.
Anything else, or is that the one you settled on?
I'm also playing the Grizzlies minus 2.5 against the Kings, which feels kind of like a trap like the other night when I took the Rockets against the Kings. I think the Sacramento team really, really lousy offensively this season. They just have been really bogged down by adding DeMar DeRozan. They no longer play with kind of that fast pace that we've gotten used to with De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk, and the defense isn't good enough to support, a mediocre offense. So I think that playing against the Grizzlies team that I mentioned last night on primetime is a really live play at 20-1 to win the Western Conference playing in Memphis. That's a really tough game. I'm surprised they're not laying more points. So I'll lay the 2.5 in this one.
Okay. For those who don't love the NBA and don't have cup fever, first of all, how could you possibly not? But secondly, I'm sure you have NCAA football conference championship fever. Let's start with the SEC championship game. You have a bet on the Georgia-Texas tussle this weekend.
Yeah, I went with Texas money line in this game. I just think the way that Texas is playing defensively right now, I'm not really trusting Carson Beck to go out and lead Georgia to another win over this Texas team. It's really hard to beat very good teams twice. Texas has allowed 17 or fewer points in each of their last four games. And I know that the offense is a little, you know, murky right now. The quarterback situation isn't great. They are playing Arch Manning in red zone situations. Ewers hasn't been great, but I think they're going to be able to score on this Georgia defense. We just saw Georgia Tech move the ball at will against Georgia. And I know you don't want to react to one game, but it's not like we haven't seen it before. There has been some really lousy halves and full games from this Georgia defense. So I really think Sark's going to get back in the win column in this matchup. But I also don't really trust Kirby Smart as 2-4 against the spread and straight up as a neutral field underdog.
All of Zach's stuff, by the way, at vsin.com across the sports betting landscape. You have a couple other conference championship bets.
Yeah, I went with ASU moneyline against Iowa State. I was actually going to play this one a lot bigger if Jordan Tyson didn't get hurt. I do think that that injury is going to hurt the Sun Devils a little bit. I just think Sam Levitt is not the type of quarterback that can just pick a team apart without, you know, a number one wide receiver. But I do think that Arizona State is going to be able to run the ball against Iowa State. I think BYU's defense, rushing defense in terms of EPA per play allowed, is pretty much identical to Iowa State's. And Scadabo ran for like 120 yards and three touchdowns when those teams played. So I don't think they're going to be able to slow him down. And I also don't trust Matt Campbell in these types of games. He's 0-5 in his career as a neutral field underdog and 0-4 with Iowa State. Also just a really bad record overall as an underdog with Iowa State. So as good as he is at running like a nice program there with the Cyclones, when they are expected, you know, playing teams that are expected to beat them, they don't tend to rise to the occasion.
By the way, and just me and you talking, nobody's listening, but at the risk of offending the entire Big 12 conference and Arizona State and Iowa State, waste of a spot in the bracket in the playoff.
There's a lot of things that aren't sitting right with me right now. Like the fact that Clemson could potentially jump from being outside the top 15 to being, you know, top four in the country. It's insane. Like they need to get rid of the seeding. And obviously, yeah, the Big 12 is a disaster, and potentially UNLV, you know, winning that game makes things a little interesting. It's just, it's not working out the way that we thought it would.
Yeah. Yeah. And the same people who are not, who are looking the other way on this, had no problem with Florida State being out last year. Don't get me started again. All right. One more college championship play.
Yep. I have the under in the ACC championship game between SMU and Clemson. I just think that the defenses in this game are a little underrated. I think that people are expecting a shootout between these two, but SMU is a top 15 EPA per play defense. Clemson is 30th. I also think that Clemson's defense is going to look a lot better against an SMU team that has not faced real great competition this year. Also, both of these teams have played college football playoff, you know, ranked opponents this season. All of the games have gone under. For Clemson, it was a 34-3 loss against Georgia. Last week's loss to South Carolina also went under. And for SMU, it was an 18-15 loss to BYU, a really low scoring game. So I just don't really think that I'm anticipating the shootout that other people are. I think it might be an ugly game to watch.
While I have you, Zach, we're about a month away from the Australian Open, the first tennis major of the calendar year 2025, because tennis right now is in the sort of vacation time of the calendar. Have you made any bets futures wise, Australian Open, men's or women's, or even if short of that, have you been sort of having a bet or two rattling around in your head that you might make?
I'm considering going with Carlos just because I've been hearing him talking a lot about winning the Australian Open. It feels like it's actually a major focus for him, which it can be hard to focus on at this point in the season. Like this is a time of year where they're playing exhibitions. I mean, last night he played Ben Shelton at Madison Square Garden in what looked like a really fun event, but he has been vocal about wanting to win the Australian Open. He's very vocal about wanting to have, you know, the career Grand Slam, you know, at a young age. So I think there's going to be a lot of focus heading into the tournament, and Sinner is dealing with a lot off the court right now. I know he compartmentalized that very well at the U.S. Open, but this is a whole other beast, like staring down the barrel of a 2-year suspension.
Damn, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Zach, appreciate it as always, man. Good luck with all the bets.
Thanks, guys.
Zach Cohen, everybody, at Betting on X, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We'll come back and make or miss NFC edition right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Omaha!
Nothing delivers comfort and joy quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha Steaks, guaranteed perfection in every single bite. Right now, you can save on unforgettable gifts with 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com, plus score an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. With 5 generations of experience, they consistently deliver the world's best steak experience, and the gifting experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to deliver the perfect gift with thoughtfully curated gift packages featuring gourmet favorites from legendary steaks to mouth-watering desserts and more. Save 50% off site-wide for a limited time at omahasteaks.com, plus our listeners get an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. What's that promo code, Kelly?
NUMBERS!
That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. Should I Ron Burgundy through some tweets?
Sure.
Sure. What could possibly go wrong? Let's see what happens. Okay. This is from... Boop, 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 boop. Let's see here. This is from Pittsburgh Billy. Gil, don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but they ain't given Lamar the award 2 years in a row when Allen and Barkley are playing equally well, are on better teams, and have never won. Love the show, he says. All right, maybe. Mm. I'm just saying, I don't think Saquon's going to have enough votes to win MVP.
Yeah, I mean, nobody, I challenge you on this, nobody loves Josh Allen as much as I do. But this is a value on the number because I don't think Saquon Barkley's getting there.
12-1, and he's got 29 touchdowns and 3 picks.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
I don't want to speak for Aaron, but I mean, he kind of brought it up. Like, there's going to be some people that barely consider a running back. Like, it is, it is not even going to really be considered.
Aaron Schatz is off the table.
Yeah,
he's 1 of 50. We'll see. Mariners geek. The forced watching of the Jags Titans game needs to include stipulation of no phones or other distractions. Yeah, no phones. No phones allowed either.
Yeah.
No wagers. No phones. Mike Rouse, you have a problem with the Big 12, but are okay with SMU having a spot? Well, I didn't say that. Didn't SMU lose to BYU? Arizona State will be a scary opponent if they win the Big 12. I knew we would defend somebody in the Big 12. No, I would say the same about that spot as well.
Let me just do this for the third time this week. SMU now in the ACC Arizona State Big 12 championship game. Got it. Okay, got it. Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
Once Cal went to the ACC, it was just like, never, I can't talk about this subject anymore. Steve the Proxy, watched a first episode of Hard Knocks AFC North. I keep meaning to.
Yeah.
I actually started to, and then I kind of...
No, I actually need Gil to watch it first and then tell me if I'm going to like it or not, because I can't get on board with the new Hard Knocks.
When asked about Thanksgiving week, Zach Taylor said he forgot it was Thanksgiving. Tomlin acknowledged it and opened his home to his players. Taylor is a coach. Tomlin is a leader. Translates to results on the field. There you go.
Maybe he was just working too hard. Maybe he was in the film room all week.
David Chalifour, 2 points. Lamar, not even the MVP of his team. Really? And two, we know these voters hate to go to 3 awards. It's not the NBA. Having said that, I have 2 bets on Allen, but just grabbed Jackson 9-1.
Oh, man.
Let's ride.
So I do, like, if you are, like David, like, if you have some Josh Allen already, I think I would be grabbing some Lamar and consider yourself pretty dang safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Which brings us to Make Miss Playoffs, NFC edition in the National Football League. And there is no sexy open.
Nope, there is not. This is real simple. This is just, will they make the playoffs, Gil? It's a fun little game show with Kelly Bidlin as the host. And I'm just going to throw team after team after you. And I'm going to get quick thoughts on where they are now.
Wait a minute. You would make a spectacular game show host.
Oh, my God. It's like it's right below. Thank you.
Holding one of those very slim stemmed microphones from the 70s.
I agree.
Fantastic.
I agree. Look, if we're not, there are very few jobs I would ever leave you for, Gil. You get me Flex Seal, or you get me a game show,
you're gone.
See ya. Sorry.
Okay. You have those two. You get 2 hall passes on that.
2 outs?
Yeah, 2 outs.
You want to get added to my contract?
Yeah. You should totally put that in your contract. If I become...
Bill Lady would die laughing. He'd be like, sure, yeah.
If I become the new spokesperson for Flex Seal, or I become a national game show host, I get out of this.
All right. Will they make the playoffs? The Washington Commanders.
Yes, they will. -350 is correctly priced. I'll tell you why. They have a bye this week. They only have 4 games left. They're 8-5. They are in playoff position currently, and here are their remaining 4 games. At New Orleans, home Philly, home Atlanta, at Dallas. At worst, they're going to end up 10-7. But I think this is a 11-6 football team, if not even I just think the schedule lines up great for them. They always play Philly well, so don't chalk that up as a loss. I just think this team finishes with a flourish. I really do. I think the what's the thing, the sort of opinion that their demise is here is premature, and I think the Washington Commodores are headed to the playoffs with Jaden Daniels as the rookie of the year. How about that?
Okay, I like it. Now, that probably means we're kind of settled with the wild card, but we could at least talk about some divisions.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to keep on moving. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, will they make the playoffs?
Okay, here's the issue with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are 6-6, tied with the Atlanta Falcons, but the Falcons swept them.
Yep.
So the Falcons have the tiebreaker. But I still think Tampa Bay gets there. I still think they finish one game ahead of the Atlanta Falcons. Tampa Bay's remaining schedule: home Vegas, at Chargers, at Dallas, home Carolina, home New Orleans. That, if you do the whole win-loss thing, which obviously is rife with peril, but 4-1 ain't out of the question there. And so if this team finishes 10-7, I think that's enough, and I think they're very likely to get there. At 10-7, even if they don't, I think they're, if you look at the Atlanta Falcons schedule, which I assume would be the next team you're going to play.
That is, will the 6-6 Atlanta Falcons go make the playoffs?
What's interesting is that Tampa's minus 145 to make it. Atlanta's minus 135 to make it. One of these things is not like the other, because we're most likely not going to get a wild card team from here.
Also, if you're like Gil and you really believe the Commanders are safe, then you're probably just playing like play a no on the Falcons instead of a yes on the Bucks, right? Am I thinking about
and
that?
Also,
right?
And also with this, again, we say shop around, but you should also shop from market to market,
right?
Because to win the division might give you a better price than this make miss.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta's remaining five games: at Minnesota, at Vegas, home Giants, at Washington, home Carolina. I think that's 3-2 at best. I don't think it's going to be as good as the Bucks run. So I think the Bucks make it, and I think the Falcons don't.
I hope you're wrong, but I kind of think you're right.
Yeah.
Because I have a Falcons ticket. All right, on to the NFC West, Gil.
Yeah.
Seattle Seahawks currently in the division lead at 7-5. Will they make the playoffs, though?
Will they make the playoffs? They are. That is the thing, right? They have one game in pocket over these other teams, right? One game over both the Cardinals and the Rams, who are both 6-6. I noticed you didn't put the Niners in here. The Niners are 5-7. The Niners might have the best finishing record of the bunch, but the Seahawks have a two-game lead over them. Seahawks final schedule: at Arizona, home Green Bay, home Minnesota, at Chicago, at the Rams. Kelly, I don't think they're making the playoffs with that schedule.
All right.
This, by the way, let me just say this about the NFC West. This is going to be a mess down the stretch. And what I mean is, there are so many possibilities of what could happen here. I don't say what I'm about to say about the NFC West is with not nearly the conviction I had of what I've just said about Washington and Atlanta and Tampa Bay, because who really knows here? But the Seahawks have the toughest remaining schedule of the bunch, though they have the one game lead.
Right.
I think the yes, if I may just fast forward to it, is the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay, well, they're next up. Will the Arizona Cardinals make playoffs?
Cardinals one game behind the Seahawks. And remember, you know, a lot comes down to what the tiebreakers are. First game between Arizona and Seattle this year was a loss to Seattle, a 16-6 loss. So this game against Seattle this week is a must-win situation.
Huge.
And that's why the Cardinals are plus 160. To make the playoffs, because if they lose this, you're two games in the loss column behind the Seahawks, but really you're three games behind in a head-to-head tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to win this game. But then after that, it's New England at Carolina, at the Rams, home San Francisco. So this game this weekend is really the bet,
man,
for the Cardinals.
Week 18 against the Niners could be huge. Like, if the Niners somehow get healthy.
Do not count out the Niners.
Or even those last two, right? Rams, yeah. Niners. Like, we can't say either one's for sure dead.
By the way, the Rams are the one team we haven't gotten through here, right?
Yep.
The Rams are yes plus 250. Their schedule is home Buffalo, at San Francisco, at Jets, home Arizona, home Seattle. That's a tough schedule to navigate. So that's why I don't say it's going to be them. I would say the Cardinals are probably the best bet. And the whole bet is this week's game. Because if they lose this week's game, it's over. Amazing, right? Aaron Schatz is seventh best team in the NFL through the prism of DVOA. if you fall to a, you know, an 0-2 record against the Seahawks and two games behind them, it's probably Katie barred the door.
I think it's fascinating. Of all four teams, we'll include the Niners. Who do you think, if you're an NFC powerhouse, who do you not want to see most in the playoffs?
Oh, a full-strength Niners. I mean, a not full-strength, because they're not going to be full-strength, yeah. But a somewhat-strength Niners.
They're still, all pesky teams.
They're all pesky. Maybe Arizona's the answer.
I mean, maybe, but you got to deal with Kyler all game then. Like that's not a simple fix.
No, that's what I mean. Maybe the one you'd least want to play is Arizona, if not the Niners. But I could see, but the Rams are tough when they're good too.
I mean, yeah, you're talking about a great quarterback.
And then there's the Seahawks. Crack is next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.